Hello, everybody. Brian here. Two things. One is the usual. Please sign up for our Patreon. We do have a video episode this week with Abby and Ryan from Bothering the Band. You can get that as well as years worth of video content at patreon.com/latentnight. The other thing is that I am performing as Trey Magnifique with the Super Guitar Bros in New York City at Knitting Factory at Baker's Falls. It's in Alphabet City on Avenue A. And that is Wednesday, July 17th. So go to bit.ly/TreySGB for tickets to that. Once again, that's bit.ly/TreySGB. And now, enjoy this wonderful episode of Late Night with Brian Wecht. Professionalism at its finest.
I've been told I have a very loud clap, so I had to keep it, just professional.
I want to dig into this right away, yep. Ryan.
Absolutely.
Tell me everything about when you were told this, who told you, how do you have a loud clap?
And what was the tone of the person telling you?
Yeah, this
were
is a good question.
Scolding you, praising you?
It's something that's been, brought up. It, throughout my probably adulthood, here I'll clap for. Wait, hold on. It's not that loud now. It's not coming through. But anyways,
I don't know. That sounded pretty
pretty violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually, you're clapping at like a sporting event or a concert, and then if you clap,
Well, usually at a sporting event, I'm booing personally. Yeah.
No matter the team.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Booing and being booed.
Well, yeah, but when you're naked, you're going to get booed. I mean, it's just part of the gig.
Okay, so loud clapping, and my daughter has really honed in on it to now where she's like she'll say something like that. Like she's an actress and she's like, Dad, like she had a play recently. She's like, Daddy, don't clap so loud.
And wait, how old is she?
She's 10. She'll be 10 in August. Yep. Right. But I want to tell her, I was like, when you say that to your father, it just makes me want to clap louder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, now look, we have an interesting situation here on the podcast. We have two fathers of daughters and two daughters. So I really want to get into this. I love being embarrassing, not on purpose, mind you, but with my kid, I'm sure you feel the same way, Ryan. When you have a child, it is your fondest wish to do something unwittingly embarrassing where they're like, Dad, stop it. It brings true joy to my heart. So I want to hear from the perspective of Abby and Layton, what's embarrassing shit your father's pulled that maybe Ryan and I could try out on our own daughters?
It was not loud clapping, but whistling. Like my dad can do that thing where he like,
oh shit. Yeah.
And it's really loud. So he would do that. Or like if he was coming to get me from somewhere, he would like, from blocks away, start like honking and sticking his hand out the window and waving and being like, I'm right here.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. That kind of stuff. Those were the big ones that really stuck with me.
Yep. Layton. Anything stand out to you?
I think I'm on the flip side where my dad faithfully listens to this podcast every week. And I think whatever embarrassment he might have done for me, now I am paying it forward.
Wait, you're the embarrassing one now? Because of this podcast?
So. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We get to publicly humiliate him potentially every week if we wanted.
And we don't.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. We typically don't.
Wait, Layton, what's your father's name?
Nathan.
Shout out to Nathan, big listener. I will say Abby's dad, Tim, he listens to our podcast. So anytime we can, we like to, give a shout out.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's like, we reference you know, his clapping or his whistling or cigarettes in the fridge or something like that.
So wait.
I like my cigarettes chilled.
Doesn't it make sense?
That's how you mentholate them, right? Yeah. Is that a thing? Cigarettes? I'm not a smoker. I've never been a smoker, so I don't know.
It's a thing my mother does, not my dad. He's not a smoker. But yeah, she buys cartons and she leaves them in the fridge because
it's the end of that sentence. Yeah, that's the question I had. It's a freshness thing. It's not a they go down smoother.
I mean, they're already menthol. She's smoking like cool 100s and nice. Their slogan is like House of Menthol. So I don't know.
It's like Game of Thrones.
It is. And the thing is, like, my mom is a smoker. Sorry if Debbie, if he ever hears this. So they're not going to go bad.
Right.
Before she gets to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to last. Yeah.
It's not a cigarette of a fine vintage.
No. And so I don't understand the point, but she's always done it. And unless we one day convince her to stop smoking after most of her life, I think she'll continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's such a power move to put cigs in the fridge. It's like, I'm trying to think of an equivalent and I can't.
Gun in the freezer.
Gun in the crisper, like the drawers.
Yeah, that's right.
America.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the thing that you see in movies sometimes where people put like diamonds inside like a, you know, a Lean Cuisine. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. I like that move too.
The
wrap
old
it in foil.
Diamond in the Lean Cuisine trick.
Yeah,
yep.
That's right. I don't think I've ever stored anything in the freezer that wasn't meant to be frozen.
Pants. I put pants in there once.
Okay.
Because I heard from somebody
I've heard about
that
this.
You shouldn't wash denim too frequently, especially if it's raw denim. And somebody gave me a pair of raw denim pants and I was like, how are you supposed to like, they start to smell after a while. And my friend was like, you put them in the freezer overnight and it worked.
And were they, well, aren't they cold when you put them on?
Well, I mean, I didn't put them on immediately. I let them warm up
first. Okay, well,
that's
part of my question. Great, good, good.
Also, I gave them away to somebody else because I was like, I'm not going to continue to put pants in the freezer.
I love the idea of raw pants. That's a great band name, but I just wrote down raw pants. There's something about the idea of raw. What does raw denim mean? It's like untreated or something?
Yeah, essentially it just means all the blue dye is going to stick to your skin. I don't really get it either.
This makes me think of the Mitch Hedberg joke where he says, this shirt is dry clean only, which means it's dirty. And if I had raw denim or something, they were like, oh, you got to put them in the freezer. I'd be like, I'm just going to wash these.
Yes, that's right.
I'm just going to wash and dry these.
I hear about that. Occasionally, Mark Maron talks about his experiences with jeans. So I hear him talk about it. And I've heard other people talk about, freezing jeans or like sitting in the bathtub with them.
Yeah.
Right? That's another jeans.
So they
move.
Shape.
Yeah.
That is a level of buy-in. You know, there's
it's
breaking in
Brian,
Doc Martens.
Like Brian.
Yeah.
There's breaking in Doc Martens and there's sitting in a tub in fully wet jeans.
Fully wet jeans.
Two worst sensations. Wet sock, wet jean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're so heavy. Like you're going to be sitting there and you're just like, you never really want to feel the weight of your clothes, right? I feel like if you do that, you're, I don't know, in the army or something. And then you're like, or you're wearing a uniform and you're like, wow, these are really heavy clothes. The moment you start thinking these clothes are heavy, something has gone wrong with your clothes.
I don't even like to carry an umbrella when it's raining. I don't heavy clothes. No, I'm out.
Yeah.
Anything that requires extra, like an extra step. This is where I'm at in my life. An extra step. If you have to put on jeans and get into a tub, I'm not wearing those jeans.
Who has time? And talk about embarrassing for your kid. It's like, where's daddy? Oh, he's molding his jeans in the tub. Don't fucking bother him.
Daddy's soaking his jeans.
Daddy's soaking his jeans, yeah.
That sounds so weird, like a weird euphemism.
Well,
talk about embarrassing, like next level embarrassing. It's fine to clap loud or whistle at a sporting event or like blast punk rock when you're dropping her off, but
sure,
that's like core.
Well, one of the great things about fatherhood in 2024 is anytime your partner says you're doing anything, it sounds creepy because it'll be like, "Daddy's in the garage," and it's always like, "Oh, whoa, that sounds bad," you know? Yeah, daddy's taking a little walk. Anything with the word daddy, which I think will, you know, as our my daughter is also 10, as our kids get a little older, that term will be phased out probably and just become dad at some point. Or actually, my favorite thing of all time, my brother-in-law, for a while, his son just referred to him as that guy. Mom, that guy's in the kitchen right now, which That's I think...
guy's in the basement again.
Yeah, which is so ominous. But I really like, so hopefully I'll become dad, but really hopefully I'll become that guy.
I prefer, papa, papa.
Yes.
This makes me think of something, and Abby's heard this before, is I live in the suburbs, Brian, you know this, not a lot of dads look like me. I have a bunch of tattoos and
patreon.com/latenight.
When she was younger, and we were in like a store or something, and she would like run off or run ahead. I'd be like, mm-hmm. Get back here. And I was always really self-aware of like a person looking like me running after a little girl, being like, get back here.
Uh-huh.
And I would just be like, she's mine. I promise.
My favorite story like this, which I have told on the podcast before, but I want to tell again right now, Layden, you'll probably remember this, is when Audrey was, I don't know, 4-ish, we were at a public park and we both needed to go pee or something. Anyway, we go to the bathroom and it's one of these park public bathrooms where it was actually in a single occupancy kind of stall or room. But it was an open roof building, so you could hear what was going on inside all the other little rooms.
And there's hornets everywhere.
Yeah, it smells amazing, et cetera. So clean, so inviting. Lots of toilet paper, which isn't wet. So she pees, I pee. And as a person might, I am wiping myself off. And Audrey very audibly goes, "Daddy, you're pulling on your penis." And I was like, No, Audrey, I'm wiping it. And she goes, "No, you're pulling on it so hard." And I can hear there are other people in this thing. And I was like, I'm going to walk out of here and be arrested for being a sex offender. And so we walk out of the bathroom and she's like, "Daddy, you were really pulling my penis in there." I was like, "Oh my God, Audrey, just like, you gotta can it with this right now." Well, I'll explain everything to you later. But so we walked quickly away.
Can we talk about you're wiping your penis with toilet paper?
Well, occasionally. It was not all the time, no, but there,
come on,
you know,
I'm not the only one thinking of this.
On a special occasion.
So, sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of extra moisture and
on Hanukkah. You know,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. It lasted for 8 days. It always does when I go pee. Not typically. That's a good, you know, let me acknowledge for a moment that this is a good question, right? But yeah, sometimes, you know, sometimes when a shake won't do, you go to the next level.
Yeah, okay. All right. Logistically, I totally understand.
Sometimes, right?
Hmm?
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about? You don't have to humor me. You can't I have no idea what you're talking about, and I've never done this.
I absolutely do know what you're talking about.
Great, okay. I fucking vindicated again.
I am wrapping my head around, one, I hope gravity is enough, and two, I'm just like...
It usually is.
I'm just like, I sit down a lot, so...
Okay,
and fair. Not in public, but at my home...
Not, yeah, sure.
I'm sitting down 99% of the time.
Take a load off, baby. That's your time.
Yeah, scroll the gram...
Yeah, no, you got stuff to do. That's a great time to post on socials about, you know, whatever's going on. Like, yeah.
I text Brian. I'm like, it's a two wipe wiener day.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
two
is
wipe
this,
wiener day. Yeah, please.
Is this nuts that I...
No, it's a penis. The nuts are separate. Layden. Oh, sorry, God. This is just, it's basic anatomy. And I understand
I'm not
why, yeah.
I'm not a... use phone on toilet person.
Okay.
Like when people talk about like, oh, I'm scrolling on the toilet, I just feels right. It's not like a sanitation thing. It's just like a, I don't know, I like being present.
I was going to say, are you just more mentally stable than all the rest of us?
Layton, I'll take this one, Layton. No, definitely not.
No, you can sit with your thoughts.
A new plateau of illness.
I will say, I think you do have good phone boundaries, it seems to me, from the outside. Would you agree with that?
Thank you. Yeah.
Because I have noticed, tell me if this is, actually, I always mean to ask you this, and I forget. It seems like you are less responsive on the weekends to text. Is that a choice or... I also might be wrong, but it seems like on the weekends, I've noticed you maybe put the phone down and aren't, you know, present as much, which is...
That's not to say that I...
No, I think it's great. I love the boundaries, but I'm curious if that's a choice.
But it's like I'm still using my phone. It's just, it's the weekend, and I wish that it was generally more socially acceptable to, like, be unreachable in... Yes. The world today.
Totally.
It's nice. So it's like I will be reading on my Kindle and nobody bother me. Yeah, I don't know. I think phones are they're great. They're very helpful. Mm-hmm. I constantly want to chuck mine into the ocean.
I couldn't agree with that more. I always say river. I'm like, I can't wait to throw this thing into a fucking river. Mm-hmm. I commend you because I try to do, especially on the weekends with my daughter, I try to not even look at it.
Yep.
Between like, it sounds weird, sunrise and sundown. I'm like, it's like a vampire thing. Mm-hmm. Sunrise
Shabbat,
and sundown.
Baby. Yeah.
I put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Good for you, Layton.
Yeah. Good for you, Layton. And good for us at Layton Night. This is Layton Night with Brian Wecht. My name is Brian Wecht. Over here we have, it was a flawless transition. Over here we have Layton Gray. Say hi, Layton Gray.
Hi, I'm Layton Gray. Don't put your phone in the freezer. Mystery guests. Who are you?
That's Ryan.
and that's Abby.
And together you are.
Bothering the band.
Bothering the band. Back on Layton Night with Brian Wecht for a second appearance.
And for the uninitiated, what is Bothering the Band?
Bothering the Band is the greatest Canadian music podcast in America.
Uh-huh. Great.
I'm just kidding. We've had a lot of Canadian bands on, and it's become a funny thing between us. We're like, I guess we're just the best Canadian music podcast in America.
That's CanCon, baby.
In essence, we ask our favorite musicians really stupid questions like, what's your favorite shape of ice? So that being said, mm-hmm. Layton, Brian, what's your favorite shape of ice?
Oh, the little chippy tiny like ice.
That's interesting. I was going to go, I like a real big fucking cube. Like as big as possible that can fit in that glass.
Says a lot about your personalities, both of you.
Yeah, I like to take up space. As a man, I'm very conscious. I'm trying to take up more space in the world so that my opinions are fucking respected for once.
I'm trying to take up physical space, like manspreading.
That's
next
right.
Level.
Yeah. Just I'm constantly doing the jumping jacks.
Yeah. Wait, Layton, you said crispy, what'd you say?
Chippy, like chippy. You know, like hospital ice, or when you go to Sonic or any place where like the ice is really really tiny and really plentiful,
like pebble ice. Are you a pebble ice? Yeah,
like Chick-fil-A has the same like Sonic type thing.
Yeah,
so, that. On the get as of this recording, the guest who's on the pod today, actually, Dustin Kensrew, he is the front man of a cool band called Thrice. He has an awesome solo album out. Thrice Ice. That's why I asked him. And he said, like almost verbatim, but he called it crunchy nugget ice and then referenced Sonic just like you. So that's
okay.
Nugget ice. People fetishize pebble ice, including my wife. She loves pebble ice. She's got such every time there's pebble ice, she's like, "Oh my god, pebble ice! I fucking love it. I want a pebble ice maker." And we looked briefly at a pebble ice maker, and like to hook it up and blah 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 is a pain in the ass. It was like a couple $100. Definitely not worth it. Not for my wife's happiness. And so we decided to pass on that. But she, every time we're out and there's pebble ice, she comments on it. She loves it.
This is a thing we learned through this conversation about ice, and that is that you can go to Sonic and buy a bag of ice.
Really?
So maybe you should get her one for your freezer. Shit. Get the pants out of the freezer. Make room for the ice.
Yeah. And the gun.
Well, I have my entire freezer is taken up with one giant ice cube, as previously referenced. Mm-hmm. But I was doing a thing, which I told you, Leighton, about my ice thing. Did we talk about this?
Yes, we did.
On the podcast, yeah. For a while, we have a tray that makes cubes that are maybe an inch and a half by an inch and a half. And I was just doing a thing where every day I would make a tray of those. And my goal is to see how much of the freezer I could fill up with cubes, like giant cubes of ice, before Rachel noticed. And the answer was a shockingly large amount. She said my favorite thing. As a man who's been married for 17 years, it'll be 17 years this year, this October, she said my favorite thing to hear, which is, "I know what you're doing." Which, anytime I hear that phrase, something has gone right. Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, man. I love that. The ice. Everyone has an opinion. I've never heard it called pebble ice. I call it crushed ice.
But that's a different thing.
Crushed ice is different?
Yeah. That's hospital ice. Hospital ice is crushed ice.
Or, on my fridge, you have the option of cubed or crushed.
Yeah. Okay.
And crushed is little... No, it's completely different.
It's not crispy.
I completely agree.
No.
Crunchy.
No, you're wrong.
Chippy.
Just be wrong.
Chippy.
Well, the other reason, not to distract from this conversation about water, the other reason that we're having you on is because you have recently, or are just about to hit, I should say, a big milestone in the life of any podcaster, which is you are coming up on 200 episodes. The episode out today is number what? It's like 198?
197 today.
197, okay.
Yep.
Cool.
So we're very close.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's very, I didn't think we'd make it this far. Oh. Don't tell Ryan I said that.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. There's no way. I think about quitting most things I love every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think about quitting.
Speaking about being married. Yeah.
I'm like, who gave me a kid? That's wild.
Oh yeah.
Writing is my passion. Every single day I'm like, I don't want to do this.
It's hard.
It's hard. It's overwhelming is the word I was going to say with the 200.
Yes.
Well,
and especially as we know, and as you know very well, how can I say this diplomatically? I hate guests. It's annoying to...
We're your guests.
Yeah, somebody comes into your home and you're like, "Man, I hate when people are in my house." Oh, not you though. Do you want some chipped ice?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Here's your fucking ice, idiot. You appreciate what I'm saying, which is that anything you have that revolves around someone who's not just the two of you creates an immediate logistical nightmare. Mm-hmm. And people are flaky. There are technical problems. You lose episodes for random reasons.
We tell them all the time, please don't log in on your phone. And then they just log in on their phone in a fucking park in a Honda Civic or some shit. Oh, God.
Yep. No, I know. And it's like, I get it. I send out long emails full of instructions. I wouldn't read these emails. I fully understand what's happening. And every fucking podcast has a different set of rules and a different thing and a different... online record, whatever. I get it. But it's such to do what you guys have done for so long in a format that relies very much on other people to be, that's the whole thing, is like you're talking to other people. Leighton and I, because of what the format of this is, we can do an episode and do frequently with just the two of us. It's no big deal. For what you do is, that's not like, it wouldn't be a typical episode for you to just do it with the two of you. Have you done an episode just the two of you ever?
No, because I don't think anyone would listen to it.
Well, I would listen to it. But,
yeah. Yeah, no, we've never done it. We've had it in the back of our brain, just in, like break in case of emergency, mm-hmm. doing it with like our team. There's another, you know, member, her name is Enid, and she helped us get started and then did all the graphics up top. And so, but thankfully we've never had to resort to it. And again, it would be like, what do you want to talk about? Let's talk about shapes of pasta.
Right. Know. Well, you could do the thing sometimes, again, not to reference Marin too much, but you know, you get someone to do what you do to other people, to you, right? Mm-hmm. You get someone in to bother you with the questions and that sort of thing, or you bother each other, even though I suspect you guys would know a lot about each other already.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
we both sighed when we said that.
Well, this is, and I'm sure you guys know, it's a full-time job. So like, it's like a friend, it's a coworker, it's a partner that you rely on, and then you,
and every interaction you have, even if it's just hanging out, which now you, okay, I forget, you're both in Florida and you are near each other physically now or no?
I mean, more than before, but we're still about 3 hours apart.
Okay. So far enough, but in, you know, you have seen each other in person in Florida.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Great. Every interaction you have is tinged with the possibility that it might devolve into business talk. Or podcast talk, right?
Yeah, or we should save this personal anecdote for the pod.
That's a rough one, yeah.
Most of the time, it's questions. Sorry, because we ask silly questions. So anytime it's like, oh, that would make a good question, we got to write that down, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and I think, Brian, you and I, because we spend so much time, for a long time, I think, and I guess this is probably still true, that we've spent the most time together on air, so to speak.
Oh, yeah,
like we haven't as much time.
For sure.
So then I feel like we have off-air conversations and it's all the stuff that we don't say on the pod, like concentrated.
Yes. My stuff that's too woke for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our secret plans and schemes.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, they do say monetize what you love and you'll work every single day for the rest of your life until you die broke.
That's what they say.
And it's interesting having a good friend. I mean, look, Layden and I we're 4 years plus deep into this thing now. We started off as friends, but we didn't know each other that well. And as I think as a result of doing this together, have become much closer friends over the course of these, you know, these 4 years. We got through the pandemic and all like major life things going on. It is a great way to get to know another person, to be like, we're going to do this thing every fucking week for hours. I'm just going to talk to you for hours every week. Probably, Layden, we have talked more than I have talked to anyone else in my life, except the people I live with, over the last 4 years.
Probably true. Yeah. Yeah, because there are many times where, like, this show is the only social interaction I get, which, you know, held true certain points. I mean, especially during the pandemic. Now it's like I've been having people over due to my injury and my ailments. But Brian.
Well, and it's a testament to how much I enjoy doing the show and how much I enjoy having you as a friend that I don't feel like I never get onto this show and think, fuck, what are we going to talk about? It's always like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, like there's always some interesting thing. We have enough commonalities and differences that there's always going to be something fun to talk about. And I'm curious, now that you guys are 200 episodes in, how are you feeling about each other? Be honest.
I mean, it's funny because we do talk a lot outside of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like we talked on the phone earlier today and then it was just like, okay, fine. I'll see you in a couple hours.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm good with it.
Confident. Right. That's the word I'm going to use. Confident. Back to when I said like I complain and tell myself I'm going to quit everything, it's always up into the moment of like, oh, this is awesome. This is fun. I would rather do this than anything else. Mm-hmm. So it's that battle within me, to use a sports reference.
Please, my favorite.
we're good role players. We play the roles.
Is that a sports reference? I think of it as a role playing reference.
Yeah, I was going with like Orlando Magic basketball. Like I'm a rebounder and maybe 3-and-D. I'm 3-and-D. You know,
I'm a tiefling barbarian.
Abby's a point guard, but now it's like I said, it is a full time job. But now it's just it's has its motor. It's going. We know exactly what we're gonna, how it goes, and you know. Aside from a couple surprises, like I said, if someone's like on their phone in the fucking woods and they're like, what, I just thought that would work. And you're like, what? yeah, it's going so well that we're going to keep doing it until it's not fun. The minute it becomes not fun, and this is why we're not monetizing it. We don't give a shit about much. It's because it's fun. It's not a job. It is. Yeah. It is. I get to listen to awesome music and then ask those bands silly questions with like my best bud.
Yeah. And you guys have had some incredible guests on too. I mean,
Ninja Sex Party.
Well, Ninja Sex Party twice, in fact.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And let's see, I'm trying to remember, occasionally I'll text you, right? And I'll be like, oh my God, you got whoever. And I'm trying to remember examples. You had David Cross, right?
David Cross, yeah. David Cross twice, actually. He was on one of the live episodes. And Fred Armisen, Tiffany from 80s mall fame, Tom
you guys
Arnold.
I miss Tiffany. When did you have Tiffany on?
A couple years ago. And she was the first time we got the sense of we are a press outlet. It was very, Tiffany, her assistant or publicist, whoever was like, you have Tiffany for one half of an hour. And then no video. And then she came in and she was just like, she didn't play our game. It is a game, and she was just going. She was like, I'm into the other week. I'm writing a cookbook. And she was, I don't think we even asked a dumb question. But yeah, Frank Turner, we've had, he's big.
That's cool.
Well, then we have our own personal favorites too. Like we just interviewed this band, Tokyo Police Club, which is like, bucket list for me. Yeah. You know them?
Yeah, I know them.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so great. And they're calling it quits too after this tour. And so we're so happy. Like from day one, they were on my list. And, yeah.
Well, in this ACAB moment, it must be hard for them.
It's true.
That's the thing we didn't touch on.
Yeah. Probably smart.
That's our rules. No politics, no inspiration.
I like that.
We don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I like inspiration.
I was just about to say.
If it comes up naturally, it's fine. But we're never going to ask, like, what brought you to this album and blah, 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 blah. Like all that shit.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember any time anyone has ever answered that question in an interesting or enlightening way. It's always like, I don't know, we fucking wrote some music.
And that's the best case scenario. If it's not some like, you know, fluffy like, you know, Jared Leto-y type answer where it's like, oh, the clouds parted. And then my blah, blah.
Did you try to read this fucking Rick Rubin book recently? Do you know this?
It's on my list. I haven't read it. But now, based off of that question, I think I'm not going to.
Well, I got 3 pages in. And to be fair, friend of the show, producer, collaborator, Jim Roach told me, he's like, if you can make it 50 pages into this book, you're going to like it. But knowing you, Brian, you're going to get 3 pages in and be like, fuck this guy. And indeed, I got 3 pages in and I was like, fuck this guy. Because it's this very like woo woo head in the clouds, kind of like I just feel music and I like kind of feel the vibrations of the universe. And that's what I do. it drove me insane.
I have seen him interview and say similar things like the artists don't know what they're doing and I just have to tell them how to feel it, and they're just like,
well, also I feel like there's no way this can actually be true, but when you hear him talk, he's like, yeah, I don't know music, like, is that, what was that, is that a, that's a volume knob, what's that? And you know, according to him, he just comes in, vibes it out, is like, that, do more of that, and then leaves. And it's like, is that true? Maybe it's true now. Has that always been true? Like, you produced some truly incredible albums, but How? I mean, just by telling people what to do? It's possible. It seems improbable to me, though. Like, I feel like he's more adept than he lets on.
Maybe. Maybe he knows a little bit. He's picked up some pieces. The book is on my nightstand. It's in the stack. I'm looking forward to it. I follow him also, and I like what he says.
Yeah, a lot of people do. A lot of people do.
And this may be subconsciously why we ask these types of questions on Bothering the Band, is because I am a writer first and foremost. I've published a bunch of books of poetry. People ask me about poetry and expect a very poetic Shakespearean response. And I'm just like, I don't know why I do it. I can't turn it off. I don't ask questions. And it's so he tends to answer like that.
Yes.
And if you can see it for what it is, he's kind of being snarky. He's kind of fessing up. He's kind of saying everything you expect doesn't matter. Just go make something. Like, and that's exactly what we're doing at Bothering the Band.
Yeah.
We don't know
and
what
that,
we're
I like,
doing.
Said like that, I love it. It doesn't matter. Just go make something. That's an incredible philosophy.
And that's what I want to teach my kid, that if you like something and you want to do it, it doesn't have to be perfect. You will figure it out. You have to fail first, all that shit.
Yes.
And we, with Bothering the Band, there's a lot of naivete involved because we're like, I don't know who, you know, can't hurt to ask David Cross. And he says yes twice.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. Fred Armisen, same way. We're like, okay, we got Fred Armisen's email. Gonna send him an email. We've gotten some interesting no's recently, but it can't hurt. That's the worst case.
Give us one no. Who said no to you?
Adam Duritz.
Adam Duritz been saying no. Well, his people. If we get this is the clinker here. If we get direct to you, mm-hmm. whether it's social or your email, we have a very high success rate. If we have to go through your gatekeepers, it's tough.
Right, because they want to say no to everything.
Yeah, and who are we? I get it. But we also, I would bet they don't even run it by them.
No, 100% not. You know, speaking as someone who has very mild forms of gatekeeping, which is also something I'm very into doing, is gatekeeping.
We have
people who look at our emails and say no to people, or more likely just don't respond.
Yeah.
I get it. And that is a protective thing. And that's why you pay people to do that, is so you can protect your personal time. But I also understand that most of the time they're not listening to the thing that's being pitched. They're just like, nah, not gonna do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys come up with great questions. I'm curious what some of your favorite questions, maybe ones you're most proud of or dumbest. I'm very curious.
Most ice related.
Well, I haven't filed them away yet. Some recent printouts from episodes. This is a really good question. The more practical everyday questions do better. Obviously, shape of ice, shape of pasta. What kind
shape
of
soap? Water?
Shape of water. Did you see the shape of water? Isn't the fish sex scene?
Would you have sex with the fish guy?
Yeah, right. wait. Hold on. Ask me if I had sex with a fish guy, what position we would do it in.
Brian, if you had sex with the fish guy, what position would you do it in?
Fishionary.
Oh, and that's our show, folks. Okay.
Very proud of myself.
Plays on words. I love it.
Thank you.
I'm stealing that so hardcore later. I can't wait.
Yeah.
My favorite part was that we had to, you know, you specifically asking to be teed up for it. That's always the best kind of.
I know what I need. It's you know, Leighton.
Yeah,
as
it's
you get
fishionary.
Older, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I was trying to figure it out too. I was trying to be one step ahead of you. I was like, what is it?
That's the thing, is no one can figure me out, Ryan. I'm like fucking next level, dude. anyway, sorry. Please continue.
Abby, anyone come to mind? Fun questions? I do have some, but I want you to go first.
But I don't have them. They're in your brain.
So Casey or JoJo is one I just looked at. I don't even think we asked anyone that, but it was in the notes.
I'm going to be an idiot. Can you please explain that to me? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Casey and JoJo was a R&B group from the 90s.
In the 90s.
They're... Spinoff of Jodeci. They sang...
Oh, okay. Man. Jodeci. Okay.
Pray for someone.
It's a Jodeci spinoff. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Got it.
And... Yeah, just really either or questions are always fun. And then there's a few we save for the live shows or like, you know, guests we know will get it. Like Ninja Sex Party, any comedian that we know we could kind of take it up a notch.
I also like the questions that have like zero context. Like Ryan and I were on the phone one day. I was driving somewhere and I was just like, what's the deal with water towers? So then we asked like our next three guests, like, why do some towns have water towers? Like, and you know, at the end they're like, well, what's the answer? We're like, legit don't know. We were hoping you did.
I think you asked us that.
I think we might have.
Yeah, yeah. That one sounds familiar. Yeah, when we were on last. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys tried to answer it like very earnestly. You're like, well, it has, we don't know. We don't know shit about shit.
Dude, like an empty out water tower would be so dope as like a little clubhouse.
Oh my god, yes.
You would have to go up so high, but put a couple of beanbag chairs in there and you can hotbox that water tower.
Yeah, dude, Airbnb that thing, right?
Yeah.
Like the ultimate stay. Rachel was telling me she knows someone that stays in like fire watch towers for like things from time to like goes camping in them, which I don't even know how that's possible, but
I've done that.
Really? So
how
do you do it?
I lived in Wyoming. You just contact the Forest Service and tell them that you're going to hike to a certain tower and you like a permit to be there for the night.
Wow.
And they're like, sounds good. That's awesome.
Wow. I tried to do that as a job after like high school because
Jack Kerouac did it.
I tried to do that. I tried to look into that. I tried to look into like all this migrant apple picking and like when I was a, you know, young idiot. And yeah, those jobs don't go to, you know, people like me, you know, for good or ill, whatever you think. And but yeah, I was like very much in my Bob Dylan, Jack Kerouac, like I'm gonna go watch for fires and write poems.
Yeah, I want to hear. Okay, let's talk poetry. I feel like we have not talked poetry much on this podcast, but as a poet, like, who are your favorites? Who's overrated? You know, highs, woes, and lows of modern poetry. You know, what's give us some talk.
Man, this is a stressful question.
It is.
And not for what you probably think. The stress comes from how honest and emphatic do I get? Do I kind of play it cool?
Don't play it cool. That's going to be
all
my
poetry is
don't play it cool, just be honest, like,
and know that I will be judging you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and our listeners. Yeah,
I'm not worried about the judgment. I love Bukowski and Sylvia Plath, and my taste runs the gamut. Overrated
from Bukowski to Sylvia Plath. Yeah,
overrated. Right. It's a good thing that there's Instagram poets. It's a bad thing when you think that's all it is.
And it's like a little Tumblr-y line drawing and three lines about getting ghosted. Yeah.
And it's just like good for you or bad for you. I am with Ryan though. Yeah.
There's a lot of like, well, oft quoted Rupi Kaur and shit like that. And, who I don't hate, but it's like, you use these, like you said, two lines of, and it's like always like ambiguous or grand. It's like love is the thing and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? What does that mean to me as a human being? I think poetry is a very human art form where it should break down these, like, get to a point as quick and as beautiful as possible. And sometimes it's written too big, too general, that I want to throw my phone in the river.
It's too Khalil Gibran is another one. They do a lot of that, like, influency Instagram stuff with, and it's like if you actually finish that stanza, like at the end of it, it's completely about like death and dismemberment, but they found this like one line, they're like, I love butterflies, and you're just like
there's a guy, I just read a book by a guy named Josh Turek. He's actually a comedian in LA. He has a great pod about books, and he could be another one you guys should reach out to. And his like self-released book of poems is outstandingly specific to a person of a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
And I am of a certain age.
I suspect I am of that age as well. Yeah. I poetry is interesting to me because I feel like on a personal level, it is an art form that I don't understand very well and has never quite clicked with me in a way that other things, you know, film, music, etc., have. And I honestly think I remember asking a dear friend of mine once who is an English teacher. I asked her, like, hey, you know, is there like an intro poetry book I can read to just kind of get it more? Because this is clearly a personal deficiency. You know, I'll read poems that I love occasionally. I'm hard pressed to name them. But was this just something you clicked with at an early age, or is it something you kind of came to later, or what?
This is going to sound so arrogant, but I didn't choose it. It chose me. But same in any creative outlet. And this is something
I feel the same way about wiping off my penis, but
yes, it's a similar sensation too. It kind of hurts, but it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. Oh, the way I do it, it's real nice.
Because you're pulling on it so hard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Dad.
Anyway, Daddy, please. Yeah.
Oh, weird. I didn't choose it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. The muttered "weird" is what I live for. That's the reaction I want from every conversation. It's just someone go "weird."
Also want you to know that I'm hearing all the jokes. So
I'm sure you. Yeah, no, I know you guys get it. Anyway, please. Sorry. Please tell me more about poetry.
I didn't choose it. Similar to what Rick Rubin is saying, I try not to overthink it. Same with the podcast and the questions and all that goes with that. I try not to overthink it. It's just fun. I am an artist, whatever.
You see my eye roll?
Yes. I hated reading and writing when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it. And something clicked in like senior year of high school. And I started liking it. Poetry and song lyrics just spoke to me. And yeah, that's
so great.
I also have to say that some of my favorite poets are some of my good friends.
Mm-hmm.
That are just send me poems. Or Abby and I
love that.
Abby and I are in a kind of defunct poetry workshop that was started during the pandemic. And just some of the, you know, people there were so talented and so, like, we wrote every week and shit. But there's some really cool poets.
Abby, are you a poet also?
No. No.
That sounds like a yes.
I consider myself more to be like stream of consciousness writer. But yes, mm-hmm. I do dabble in poetry. I very much enjoy poetry. I think I found it a little bit earlier than Ryan did,
mm-hmm.
Through a middle school field trip, actually.
Oh, where?
We went to this theater to see these like several short plays, and they were all Poe. I love Edgar Allan Poe. So they did mm-hmm. like Telltale Heart and The Raven. And so I really started like digging into his writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, I should take more like writing and literature classes. And it just kind of branched out from there.
That's awesome.
So I've always enjoyed it. But, you know, so he would be in my favorites, along with, you should look up John Cooper Clark also. Ryan knows I will always pick him. He's known as the punk rock poet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was in the UK back in the day coming up with punk rock. And he's fantastic as well. Highly recommend.
So Brian, you were saying poetry doesn't really hasn't clicked, but I will say poetry is as like, you know, as diverse as music.
Sure,
can be,
of course.
You know? So I will say mine's a little different. Mine is not Roses Are Red, Violets Are Blue. My latest book, and I'm totally shamelessly self-promoting.
Yeah, do it.
Is called Hearts and Farts.
Yeah, hold it up.
And I've put my daughter on the cover.
Look at this shit. This is awesome.
That's the cover.
That's really great.
So yeah, if that doesn't tell you, it's a little bit hearts and farts. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was funny.
I love it.
I love that.
Yeah, really I'll send great. You guys some actually. If you,
oh,
if
please,
you
yeah,
please.
It, and that one's a little different. That one's a little bit. That one's about embracing fatherhood and suburban life and for all the good parts of it and you know some of the funny parts of it.
Yeah,
the rest of them are really depressing.
Yeah, that one's the most positive. You know, when my
they're not depressing, well, but they're I think darker.
For me also, it's just lack of exposure. You know, in high school and beyond, I was reading novels and, you know, listening to music like classical and what everything. But I, although in school we would occasionally read a poem here or there, we never did like, the way my brain works, I want to analyze shit, right? I want to sit down with a thing and like really pick it apart. And I never kind of took a class where we did that. And I think because of that, I feel, and this is going to sound insane when I say it, I feel unqualified to appreciate poetry because I don't know what I'm fucking doing with it. And because
no one
of
does.
My,
this is,
I understand.
No one does.
Yeah. Abby, please.
This is a conversation I actually had with a friend of mine who was visiting a little bit ago. And I think that part of that is when you don't necessarily like explore the world of poetry, what you know of poetry is like your classic poets.
Yes.
And they are very structured.
Yes.
And you know, follow everything like to the letter sort of thing. And yeah, that can be a little unappealing. But when yeah. you like, you know, go to, you know, any bookstore and find some like random thing that has a really awesome cover, I've done that before. And then
sure.
it's just, you know, completely different because poetry doesn't have to follow all right. of those rules. And
well,
that's,
yeah.
I think, where people kind of disconnect because you just don't know that.
Totally. And look, I 100% appreciate that. I feel the same way about music, right? Music, there's no fucking rules. Music can be
yeah.
anything you want. Yeah, but it's I should just read shit. Is honestly,
I'll throw
don't overthink it.
Yeah. I'll throw my favorite into the ring, which is, and I'm going to say her last name wrong, Muriel Rukeyser. She is great.
Mm-hmm.
Also, really, Patricia Lockwood is great.
Her name, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, highly recommend Patricia Lockwood as well to everyone, and also
That's
her
great.
Like non-poem writing. Nobody is mm-hmm. talking about this. Is a fantastic book that made me weep.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Priest Daddy.
I feel like she just have something out, or there was an article about it. I feel like people were talking about Patricia Lockwood fairly recently in some.
She's
context.
A very online person. I wonder if
maybe that's. What
I mean,
was.
She was like a classic weird Twitter person, quote unquote. But yeah, I got to see a poetry reading that she did in Savannah, Georgia, and I went with guest and friend
oh,
of
cool.
the show, Allison. And she signed my copy of Priest Daddy and drew a possum in it for me. And it was
Aww.
Great.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool. I was going to ask
amazing.
You, Leighton, because is that a bookshelf behind you?
It is, yeah.
I was going to ask if you got any. What you got on that bookshelf?
A lot of VHS tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's Ryan's other favorite thing.
I do.
Really?
This is what he does with them. He turns them into postcards.
I turn the cover into postcards.
That's
oh.
a great idea.
Wait, I gotta see because,
like, this is the backside of this one. Actually, it was "Can't Hardly Wait,"
mm-hmm.
and then he just like made it a postcard.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I
also
had a
have
bunch.
Like some vampire one somewhere around here.
I believe it's Dracula 2000.
I think it might have been
good choice,
or something like that. But I'm assuming you preserve your VHS.
I mean, I watch them.
Oh, that's awesome! That's incredible. I have a bunch of them, but like when I was moving at some point and I had VHS and I just didn't know what I didn't want to just throw them away and no one was buying them
mm-hmm.
Like they kind of are now.
Yeah.
And so I started cutting the covers, the front and back covers, and like sending them as postcards. I had a bunch and now people, like, anytime I see VHS I'll buy them and
I take
awesome.
The tapes and turn them into lights.
Oh, that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
With like LEDs or what?
Yeah, just like little fairy lights. You take out all the tape that's and then just wrap little fairy lights. Ryan has one. Actually, that's where this came from. It's why it's the back, because I had to cut the front cover to get the thing back together, I think.
Oh, I see.
But, you know, lots of great uses for VHS.
And to bring it all back around, you can make art out of anything. Shout out to Rick Rubin. We'd love to have you on the podcast. for real. I'm assuming you guys would too. And you can, that dude could talk about whatever he wants.
I've listened to a couple episodes of his podcast, Tetragrammaton. Mm-hmm. And because they're all like fucking 4 hours long.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to get into. A friend recommended one particular episode to me. And I was like, okay. Yeah, it's. Look, I don't want to shit on Rick Rubin too much. Obviously, you know, I would kill to have the career he does. There's something about the way he talks that really bothers me. It's this very affected way that a rich white man would talk, knowing that people are just going to listen.
It's condescending.
100%. That's 100%. It feels that's exactly the thing I was dancing around. Is it feels I'll like say. He's talking down to me, like, and yeah, maybe he should, but not even arguably. Rick, of the list of people that should be talking down to me, which is quite long, Rick Rubin is definitely on that list. So that's fine, but it's just, man, I hate that affectation so much. The I'm going to speak quietly because I'm so worth listening to that. You know,
he should
do.
He should produce the next Ninja Sex Party record.
Honestly, sure. Let's see. let's see what you did. I've mentioned this on the show before. One of my favorite comedy things, the best show. We just recently had Jason Gore, who's one of the producers, on with Jeff Garlock, because they do this thing, The Hawk, which you guys would really like. It's a fake classic rock radio station. But on The Best Show on their Patreon, they do a thing where, called Rubenesque, where they go through every Rick Rubin album that he's ever produced or executive produced. Every single one. And they just put out a new episode this past week. They're finally up to 2001. So they've gotten through, you know, and every episode is like,
what's this week's?
This week, let's see, who was on this week? There was one like late Run DMC song. I just listened to this too. I can't even remember anything else. Macy Gray was on it. I guess he produced that.
He's done a lot of stuff that you wouldn't even know. Everything 100%. Iron Maiden and shit like that. And you're like, what?
Yeah, a bunch of like new metal stuff. Mm-hmm. This was a pretty dire week in terms of Rick Rubin stuff. Yeah, but it's such a great. So they did something similar with. they had a series called So Far, where they went through every single album that had any one or more of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, and I mean from the 60s through the present. And every solo projects, duo project, all of them.
Wow.
And it's, I am not particularly a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young fan. That music just does nothing to me. Neil Young, people love Neil Young. I could take or leave. Just doesn't, I find it kind of boring. But it was so cool to go through these albums and just learn about a style of music I knew like nothing about. And it's kind of the same thing with Rick Rubin. A lot of the albums I'm more familiar with, like especially the, you know, the hip hop stuff. But again, a lot, like I don't know shit about new metal. It's interesting to
hear. Thought you loved like Limp Bizkit and Korn and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I know
that.
I have that kind of vibe. That's
what Leighton
right.
said.
Yeah, I'm a, mm-hmm. I'm a real in the Korn community, we call them cobbers, Korn cobbers. So I'm a pretty big cobber myself.
Cobber,
yeah, that's
what,
yeah, of course, back, yeah, K in a backwards B. That's right.
That reminds me of a question we've been asking recently. It started just because it was funny to us. How many people in the world do you think have 311 tattoos?
Oh, so this is actually in physics, there's a name for this kind of question. You call it a Fermi problem.
Oh,
so Enrico Fermi, famous particle physicist, would ask his students these questions. And the famous one is, how many piano tuners are there in Chicago? And the goal is not to come up with the right answer. The goal is to list your assumptions and come up with a reasonable estimate, right? So, you know, you can say, okay, well, you know, how many people are there in Chicago about? All right. How many people, what percentage of those do you think own pianos? Okay. How many people would you need? You know, that sort of thing. So you're kind of whittling it down to its constituent parts and coming up with reasonable estimates for each part. And then going there. It's very like a Drake equation kind of feel. This is the how many, you know, intelligent civilizations are there in the universe or something like that. So this is a great Fermi problem. How many people have 311 tattoos? So we could try to figure this out.
The answer is 18.
18. Right. Yeah.
The answer is 311. Well,
here's the thing.
And they put a stop at it.
You can figure it out. However, I would like to say that Ryan and I went to see 311 about a month ago, mm-hmm. and there was not one single 311 tattoo visible.
That we saw. We didn't check any butts.
That's true. I did not check tramp stamps or butts.
Because it's going to be that classic logo, right? It's going to be that logo.
It is,
if anything.
Yeah.
And maybe there's like a lyric or something, but that's basically what it is.
Actually, Brian, you'll appreciate the backstory of this. So Brian and I have a mutual friend.
Yes.
Michael Feldman, shout out. He's hilarious.
He's the best. We just saw him. He was just in town with his family a few months back.
Love that guy. Talk about moving to the suburbs and then, you know, thinking no one will get your sense of humor. And then you meet someone like that. In the suburbs, a lot of just, again, not to use cliches or generalities, a lot of preppy white guys, you know, who are now in their 40s in that uniform. And there is another dad I met who was asking me about my tattoos, which I fucking hate. I don't know if you have tattoos. I'd rather
have that one on the tip of my penis that I'm constantly wiping.
That says wipe.
Yeah.
Don't forget to wipe
here,
bro.
Daddy. Yeah.
The daddy takes it over the edge.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he was like, I got a tattoo. And again, this guy looks straight as an arrow. Good looking dude. And he goes, I got a tattoo, and he lifts his shoulder, and there it is, a sun-baked 311 tattoo.
Oh my
and
God.
I'm just like,
this is the only tattoo he has.
Only tattoo. I'm like, I love it.
It sounds like stuff.
I'm talking shit. I love it. It made me so happy.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. And then that's
amazing.
How this kind of started. And then like a month later, we saw 311. They fucking rocked, by the way. However that new metal or rap rock gets a bad taste or whatever, mm-hmm. They killed it. They crushed it.
I find that very easy to believe. Like, I don't know their music very well, but they're a popular band, right?
Layton, I'm curious, what's your most embarrassing favorite music or band?
Oh, this is a good
Ooh.
Question.
And Taylor Swift does not count because she's the queen. So.
I don't care about Taylor Swift. Well, I've been the 0.001 percentage of Radiohead fans on Spotify for like 3 years in a
row.
Okay. Which I don't think is terrible, but it is
not embarrassing at all.
A very specific slice of depressed bitch music.
I think you're cool. That to me was like, oh, she's way cool, too cool for me.
I don't think there's music that I'm like embarrassed by. I wish I had a better answer.
Maybe music that had its day and now has like a.
Oh, I think he's making fun of how much pop punk I listen to.
It could be pop punk or Dave Matthews Band or like Buffett.
I had a really big Panic at the Disco phase when I was a teenager, as many teenagers did. But I
was it
I
emo
was...
or just Panic at the Disco?
Just Panic at the Disco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Fever You Can't Sweat Out, still a great album.
Yep.
I have a question for everybody here. I can see the tips of everybody's graphic tees.
Speaking of tips,
gotta wipe that tip, dude.
And I'm curious what everybody's different graphic tees are on this call.
Okay, got a Dylan. Abby's
got a Bob Dylan.
Rocking a Dylan.
What about you, Ryan?
I'm wearing, speaking of Canadian music podcasts, a band called The Weaker Thins. It's a really, if you know, you know, type of.
I do not know.
Canadian whiny.
You could have just said Canadian
indie band. the main guy, John K. Sampson, brilliant fucking writer. And when I discovered them at like a perfect age of like 22 and being like, oh, I'm a poet. And like, and they were like, no one knew a lot about them. I was like, they're mine, you know? Mm-hmm. It just really spoke to me and I love them. Check out Weaker Thins.
Great.
Sick. Brian, I've seen you in that shirt and I don't remember which one it is.
So this is the logo of my online trivia league, Learned League.
Oh.
An invite only online trivia community.
I always thought it was a blueberry.
The official term for this is the clown ball.
Okay.
Which, take or leave, but that's what it is.
I like blueberry.
Yeah, I do want to. We do need to move on to segments.
Oh, you're not even going to ask about my fucking shirt.
Yeah, we didn't get to Leighton Stark.
Graphic tee. I didn't see that you were wearing a graphic tee.
I'm wearing my health shirt, which is my favorite shirt.
Yeah.
Wait. Let's talk about your health. You fell off a fucking roof. And excuse me if you've already talked about this on the pod.
It's the most new metal thing that's ever happened to us.
So, speaking of your health, how is your health? You fell off a roof. What were you doing up on that roof? Being a cat?
I mean, if I was being a cat, I would have landed on all fours and been fine. No, my apartment was built in the 1920s. The ceiling leaks. Management has repeatedly said that they have fixed the leak. They have not. So the leak is right above. You can see my big TV. The leak is right there. So when it rains, it leaks and drips on the TV. I've been dealing with this for a long time. I finally, like, you know, flex sealed the inside and it was raining. And not only was I getting the drip in one spot, it was like a run of just like steady dripping. And I was like, oh, I just got a tarp. I don't have a ladder.
It's like my wardrobe.
There's like a retaining wall behind my place that you can get up onto. And basically I was able to climb onto my roof, but I was not able to use that same route to get back down because it was pouring rain.
Wait till it stopped raining.
Well, no, because I was trying to put the tarp up so it would stop leaking and dripping everywhere. Anyway, so I was sitting on the edge of my roof and I was like, I bet I could jump down from here. And no, I could not. And
single
I
story?
Yeah, it's like 10 to 12 feet. Brian, you saw it.
Yeah, the drop, Layden's apartment. Address, what's the address, Layden? it's, you know, it's a multi-tiered thing, but the drop was a single story thing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Onto concrete in a step. Yeah. It's like a little ledge of concrete and that's what I fell on. So that caused issues. Anyways, I broke 7 bones in my ankle and foot.
Yeah.
And next Tuesday, I'm getting the metal rods that are sticking out of my foot currently removed, and from that point I will be weight bearing again. So I fell the last day of March, I think. So this has been a long
the ides.
So you have like those bit like a bracket thing sticking out, right? And it's like into your skin and you gotta clean it a bunch, right?
I mean, I don't, it's like wrapped up in gauze. Brian, you've seen it. How would you describe it?
Is it metal? Is it
she
metal?
Has two little like green nubbins sticking out of her foot. Okay. And the metal is like inside the foot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like this, but bent. Mm-hmm. And so like that's in there. And so next week, apparently it doesn't hurt when they take it out. It just feels, your brain interprets it as my bones are being pulled out because you're not used to things coming out of your bones.
Would hurt, right?
Yeah, but like my doctor adjusted, like wiggled them a little bit to make sure they were sticking right. And it's just the weirdest. I can't even describe it. It is the weirdest feeling because you're not used to things inside of your bones wiggling.
Oh, man. What did Nathan think about this when you fell?
Oh, I mean, he immediately flew out and stayed with me for like 5 or 6 weeks.
That's a good dad.
Yes, he is. Yeah. So that was incredibly helpful. And I don't know what I would have done without him because I live up several flights of stairs.
Devils. Well, I hope you heal fast. Jokes. Like, that sounds terrible. I don't have any fucking...
Yeah. No, and Brian was the one who I called him because this happened at like 7 a.m. And he came and took me to the hospital, and he and Rachel were so helpful and kind. And
we tag teamed that day. I got late into the hospital and kind of into a situation where they could help her. And then Rachel showed up, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours later, something like that, with Audrey. Yeah. And then we switched, and I took Audrey, and Rachel stayed with Layton for the rest of the day, pretty much.
Yeah. I've spent a good bit of time in the hospital, you know, because I broke it and they couldn't operate for 3 weeks because I had a thing called fracture blisters. Do not Google that. And so we had to wait for those metal band to heal.
Oh, fuck, you took it right out of my mouth. I was actually waiting for her to finish. So
no, see, that's it. Yeah. Right. That's a crucial miscalculation. You never wait for Layton to finish. Always interrupt her. She loves it.
But yeah, so I had fracture blisters, which are huge.
I googled that.
Oh, that gasp was incredible.
I'm glad we got that on tape. Yeah, so
that was such
when
a
you Google
reaction,
it
Abby.
And you see those pictures, those are basically what mine looked like. It was horrifying.
Not gonna do it.
Stomach hurts.
Not gonna do it.
Well,
so yeah, imagine not knowing that you had those, and then they take the splint off and your foot's covered in those, because that was my experience.
And then immediately texting your closest friends, look at my fucked up foot. Look at this. It's so gross.
Yeah.
Hundo P, I would do that to Ryan. I'd be like, look at this now.
We were on the tour bus, a bunch of men passing around pictures of Layton's feet on our tour bus, because we're all,
you could sell them on OnlyFans.
I do have a bunch of gnarly fucking pictures of the various stages of my foot through this whole ordeal from moment of, not moment of break, but right after the break to every week that the splint has come off because the fracture blisters got drained, which I filmed. And then the next week they were blood blisters.
Yes,
anyway.
Five stages of feet.
Blister, blood blister. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. We have segments. As much as I'd love to keep talking about horrible medical things and new metal, some of which there's a significant overlap there. But I do want to move on to segments because I know we have a bit of a time constraint. Our first segment is our pop culture recommendation segment. This is where you get to talk about something you've been enjoying recently, a book, movie, video game, whatever you want. The segment is called What's Poppin', and the theme song gets inserted in post here.
What's poppin'?
What's poppin'?
What's poppin'?
That was me
What's
dancing
poppin'?
To the song.
Once again, I love it. I love it when guests bring their own little sauce
What's
to the poppin'? What's
poppin'
theme song.
Or what's poppin'? Blisters, fraction blisters. What was it called?
Fracture blisters.
I can't even say it.
You know what? I didn't even think, but Ryan, you put that together. Blisters coming right before what's popping really is a nice little bit of kismet there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We planned that. Brian texted me. He's like, listen, this is how it's going to go when we play this.
And here's a
in the same
of
way that
foot.
We've joked about foot fetishes and wiki feet for so long on the show, I feel like that partially manifested a broken foot for me. Mm-hmm. Similarly with what's poppin', indeed, my blisters by my hot
that's
doctor.
Why, maybe that's why you got them.
Yeah.
It's because we talk about poppin' things so much.
It's true.
Layton, speaking of poppin', what's poppin'?
What's poppin' for me is that due to my injury, I've been at home. Friends have been visiting me. This weekend, Jory came over, and as usual, we were looking on Shudder for a dumb horror movie to watch. And we were really scraping the barrel of trying to find just the right amount of dumb, because it can't be from like the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, if you see something that looks stupid and it's from 1983, it's like, hell yeah. But if it's from 2019, I'm not into it.
Yep.
But the title of this movie caught our eye because the title is Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge.
Ooh.
That sounds like a Fear Street book.
Yes, right? It does. It really does, yeah.
Well, it sounds like the sequel to a movie that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck's Eric and what's his revenge? So obviously we put
Eric
that
with
on.
A C or a K or a CK?
With a C. With
okay.
a C.
Unfortunate, but fine.
So picture this. It's the 80s. This is the same mall that Chopping Mall was shot in.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They're doing Phantom of the Opera, but in a mall. And it's like this girl's boyfriend who died in a house fire. And he's, you know, running through the vents in this mall, killing people. It is the perfect amount of dumb. There are so many like practical effects. Shit doesn't make sense. It's like the perfect bad horror movie. I actually like it better than Chopping Mall.
And when is it from?
That's like a good 90s? Question. It's 80s, 90s. Yeah. Pauly Shore is in it.
Wow. Okay, it's 90s probably.
90s. Let's see. 1989.
89, Pauly okay.
Shore. Yeah. It was just impeccable. I highly recommend it if you're just having a fun...
Writing this.
Eric's Revenge. And it's not a sequel.
Phantom of the Mall.
No, it's not.
I love crazy. That. When she said, who's Eric?
Exactly, because that's such a crazy title for a movie that's not part of a franchise. Who the fuck's Eric? That's the most basic name. Yeah, so that is what's popping for me. Who Great. Else has a pop?
Well, if I go, I'm going to steal Ryan's pop.
I know,
because
no,
it's
just
the
ahead.
Same one. We are lately really into season 2 of Outer Range on Amazon oh, Prime. Are you familiar with this
no,
show?
I am
oh
not.
My goodness gracious! So it you is... know the show Yellowstone, yes?
Yeah.
I've never watched it,
but you know it.
But
right?
I know it. Yes.
It's you know essentially like Dallas of our days. Right. And if you take that and add a whole creepy time travel supernatural element to it, you have Outer Range starring Josh Brolin.
Naked mm-hmm. Josh Brolin.
Naked Josh mm-hmm. Brolin. He does get naked several times. It's weird. And it just came out the second season a couple of weeks ago, and it is weird and fantastic.
Okay.
All right.
Outer Range.
Outer Excellent. Range is fun. It's weird. It's fun. Everyone should watch it. In the same boat, we'll count that for both of ours, but everyone watched the show From as well. Have you heard of From?
No.
It's by the people who created Lost. It's on like MGM Plus. It's kind of buried, but it's getting this like steam, and it's a fantastic, weird, obviously we're into these weird shows, but it's about this like town these people come to and they can't leave. And then at night, like demons come out and rip you to shreds.
Mm. All right.
Yeah. Badass.
Cool.
Neat. Brian,
yeah.
What's popping?
What's popping for me is the Max show, Hacks. Hacks on yes. Max. And I got to say, I watched with Rachel the first season of Hacks and was not feeling it. I love Gene Smart. A bunch of great actors showing up in that. Caitlin Olson. Watch anything with Caitlin Olson. Always great. I was like, this, you know, especially as someone in comedy, I was just like, I don't know, not feeling it. Didn't think it was great. Waited until, I don't know, 2 weeks ago to even start season 2, which is now a few years old. And I was like, oh my God, either the show got better or I just like it more now. I think it got better and I like it more because I love season 2 and 3. They're fucking great. You know, Gene Smart's always awesome. Hannah Einbinder. They made her character's supposed to be annoying, but I thought in season 1 was annoying in a bad way. Mm-hmm. In season 2 and 3, it really works for, I think the second 2 seasons of Hacks are amazing. With the exception of one character that really doesn't work for me, which is the one played by Meg Stalter. She feels like she's in a different show. It gets better in season 1. She was like a real outlier. She gets a little more integrated in seasons 2 and 3. It still feels like, why is this character even here? Way wackier than everybody else. And she's very funny, but like it just doesn't kind of fit into the show for me. But I really, really like seasons 2 and 3. And I believe the last episode of season 3 is just about to come out. So highly recommended and legitimately very, very funny.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Yeah.
Well-written show.
Really well-written, really well-acted. You know, Gene Smart just fucking rules. She's so great. And playing this like Joan Rivers type character, she just crushes. She's just perfect for it. And occasionally, you know, because of what it is, some other actor will show up. Helen Hunt has a recurring role in this season. I haven't seen Helen Hunt in something in a long time. Christopher Lloyd shows up for an episode.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I saw that. I haven't watched this season yet, but.
Stephen Tobolowsky shows up. And every time fucking Tobolowsky shows up on something, I love
Needle Nose Ned. That's Ned the head.
Ned the head.
I love him.
Yeah. So, you know, because it's an HBO show, these like cool actors show up from time to time. And that's always fun. So yeah, Hack seasons 2 and 3, maybe not.
I probably should have said like, what's poppin'. I should have said some obscure, like Russian poetry or some shit.
From's good.
Anything can pop.
All right. Segment 2, Layden.
All right. Now it's time for our final segment, which for the purposes of the show today is one part gratitude exercise and one part petty grousing. And the theme song goes right here.
One peach, one peach each.
And the theme song left you in suspense of what the name of the segment is, which is Peaches and Lemons, or one That's peach right. each this week, either yes. way. We will each start with a lemon, which is a thing that is a mild bummer, annoyance, or general what the fuck ism of life. I'm with getting worse at this.
You know what? I do agree with that, actually.
I'm like getting progressively more in my head about it after 200 episodes where it's like, I really should have figured this out by now.
You know, so that's how I was with the intros to our pod. Like, you know, we just talked to so-and-so about Peach, you know, and try to wrap it up in the one little sentence that, you know, I just making up on the spot. And now, so we now make the guests do the intro.
So I like it.
So you could possibly, that could be in your bullet point is like, you have to sing the poppin' song, or the guest has to sing the poppin' song, and the guest has to do the Peaches and Lemons intro. Mm.
I don't hate it. I will go first. My lemon, as I think I mentioned before we started recording, is that, you know, we did an early record today. We don't normally record at 9 a.m. California time.
No, it's fine.
It's completely fine. I just needed coffee, and I made coffee and was like, yummy coffee. And I dumped half and half in, and I took a big old sip, and my half and half went bad. So it was nice curds of half and half. That's my lemon. Not
great.
Not ideal.
Chunky coffee.
Chunky That's coffee. That's
curds fair. And whey.
Yeah. Oh, I got to stop thinking about it. Somebody else say a lemon.
Yeah. Ryan, Abby.
I'll go because I have, I was thinking about this, and mine is just narrowing down lemons. I could complain all day. You know, that's where a lot of the questions come from. But this is specific. I just saw the movie If. The John Krasinski.
From the mind of John Krasinski.
Yes, it's that's the voiceover. It's real dark. It's a kid's movie, and it makes me think. There's a scene, obviously, where, you know, the main kid is battling something, and then an elder.
It's a scary clown, right? He lives in the dark. Yeah, yeah.
And so the kid is like dealing with something, and he goes to an older character for sage-like advice. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I said in this and many other movies where, Brian, we talked about being dads, is the most unrealistic part of this movie, not the imaginary friends and shit like that. Mm-hmm. It's the kid actually listening.
Oh, my God. Yeah, tell me about it.
Because, like, it also happens in Little Miss Sunshine where, like, Alan Alda is, like, dropping just, like, oh, you believe in yourself shit. You wouldn't even get that out with my daughter, where she'd be like, yeah, yeah, I got it. All right, I'll see you later. You know?
Oh, yeah.
The kids don't fucking listen.
No. I don't need to say, every time I tell my daughter, I'm like, Audrey, I have 40 more years of life experience than you do. 40. Count them. I think I might know what I'm talking about here. Nope.
No.
And then at some point you're like, I'm just going to sit back on this one and watch her learn the lesson the hard way. And never if it's actually anything dangerous, but for mild stuff, it's just parenting. They're not going to listen to you.
they're not going to, you know, in the stressful days, or if it's something as simple as like, I could, you want to make that a little bit easier, like removing a cap or something?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, like, now we're dug in. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in short, she's like, you shut the fuck up, Dad.
Oh, yep. Oh, I know it.
There yep. you go.
Do you know what she fucking asked me the other day? She was like, Daddy, do you know what Rickrolling is? And I was like, well, she, a legitimate concern of hers is getting Rickrolled, a legitimate concern in 2024. And I was like, Audrey, not only do I know what Rickrolling is, my generation invented Rickrolling. And she's like, no, you didn't. And I'm like, fuck you. Yes, we did.
What?
Absolutely. I'm exactly of the age that, you know, early internet shit was my generation, basically.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me started on, do you know what Rickrolling is? First of all, the fact that a 10-year-old in 2024 is talking about Rickrolling is pretty nuts. But
yeah.
Now I guess it's a meme and blah, blah, blah.
It's everywhere now.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
But didn't believe me when I said that my generation had invented Rickrolling.
I love that she's afraid of it. Like, it's like, oh, I thought you were going to Rickroll me. Like,
she walked out of an environment we were in recently. I forget what it was. Maybe it was at the Ren Fair, where someone started playing Never Gonna Give You Up. And she's like, I'm not getting Rickrolled today. I'm not getting Rickrolled today. And I was like, whoa, what is going on with this?
It's just like, hearing the song getting Rickrolled now.
I guess when you're 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in also, the same way that, you know, earlier internet being afraid of jump scares.
Getting goatsy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Audrey's going to come up someday soon and be like, Daddy, have you heard of goatsy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or and she's going to be
Animal
like,
Crossing character. Yeah.
Dad, you know what you've been iced is? The Smirnoff Ice thing?
Oh, yeah.
When you hide a
Smirnoff. Uh-huh.
Abby, what's your lemon?
It's work. In reality, just, I know that's everybody's grievance, but I need you all to know that for the month of May, I have hardly done any work. No one I work with will ever listen to this because they don't understand what podcasts are. But like, I took the first half of the month off to travel, and then I came back and had a few days where I did very little. And then a friend of mine came to visit, and I took several days off while he was here, but I didn't tell anybody. I just didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then they all emailed me telling me they were so sorry. They were too busy to like catch up with me on that Monday and like hope everything's going well. And then we had a 3-day weekend. So like legit the 28th and 29th and 30th of the 31st of this month will probably be the only 4 days I work. And that's really annoying.
Fantastic.
I love that you're like, I barely work, but when I do, I hate it.
Well, I just wanted to see if I could make a whole month, and I'm not going to be able to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, things happened. But yeah, so, you know, it was fun. I just didn't do work and no one noticed.
That Excellent. Sounds like a peach to me.
And, yes, yeah. And so now moving on to my peaches.
Brian, do you have a lemon?
I do. This is a boring one. I don't have many back problems. I get them occasionally. While we were on tour, I don't want to get into this too much, but basically I auctioned off the sheet music for Smash Mouth's Astro Lounge, which I signed. And
that sentence is insane.
Yes. Yep. Well, yes, indeed it is. And the person who bought it, I was like, come up on stage. We're going to do the credit card transaction live so I can make sure it goes through. It's kind of a bit. And afterwards, this guy paid a good amount of money for it. And I was like, can I give you a hug? This guy picked me up off the ground when he hugged me and kind of fucked up my back. Because he did not tell me he was going to do it. And I was not ready for it. And it hurt. So ever since then, my back has been kind of fucked, and it's just a muscle thing, I'm sure, but it's not fun. And what I will say is don't pick people up without telling them they're going to do it. tell them you're going to do it. It's fine. It'll work itself out. You know, I'll go get one of my special massages that well, the less said about this, the better. But it's all going to be fine. But my back has been bothering me, and it's just annoying. And luckily, it's not anything terrible, but it is.
Yeah, Brian, that's what you get for auctioning off another artist's work that you've signed.
I'm happy you brought that up, because I was like, well, did you play on that album or that song?
No, I was just, every show on this tour, I would get a merch item or two, which was kind of stupid. You know, a silly DVD, like B-movie, or one time I had the original motion picture soundtrack of The Hangover on CD. Okay. Stuff like this. And I would sign it with an inspirational phrase and sell it. Had a dumb markup because the character I was playing is kind of a, you know, relentlessly hawking merch.
This is your jazz.
This is my
persona?
Smooth jazz guy. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I got this Astro Lounge music at Powell's in Portland. Uh-huh. And I was like, I don't know how much to sell this for. Let me just auction it and see what happens. I came up with a brilliant idea, which I didn't do, a reverse auction. Where you start, it's like, okay, bidding starts at $10 million. And then you come down, and the first person to bid gets it. We didn't do
that. That's pretty fun.
I thought, you know, who knows? Might work, might not. Instead, I just did kind of like a, what are you willing to pay for this? And the guy who got it ended up paying $300 for this sheet music, which I wrote his name and "You're My All-Star" on it. And then signed it. Which is very nice. Like, it's a lot of money to spend on my shit, and I do appreciate it. Very, very kind gesture for a special item. Yeah,
that guy was Nathan Layton's dad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
picked you up. Yeah, you got to ask for consent.
You got to ask for. I mean,
no one wants to be picked up ever. Like, what?
No, especially when they're not ready for. Like, the guy kind of just grabbed me and like lifted me way up, and it was really, it was not a good choice, I think. So
rip.
Don't do shit to other people's bodies unless they really want you to.
All right. Well, that's been lemons. Now it's time for each of us to say one peach, which is a nice, exciting, cool, good, fun thing. I will go first. As previously mentioned, my dad was here for many weeks to help me out. And in the process helped me clean and decorate and get rid of a bunch of shit that was in my apartment, and now I am existing in a clean and nice space for the first time in a while because executive dysfunction issues, yay. But it's, you know, good for your mood and your brain to be in a space that's clean.
Yes, and your apartment looks great. We were just there, as mentioned.
Thank you.
And it was awesome. Yep.
Halloween decorations still up?
Oh, it's year-round, baby.
That's not a Halloween decoration.
No, it's a lifestyle. We've got three ghost face masks over here. We've got my eraser head, like, mask cut out. There's a skeleton. Like, basically, the rule in this apartment is every wall needs at least one breast or one skeleton, and there are several where I've got both, so,
that's,
you know.
That's such a great pool quote.
Yeah,
the ratio of tit to skull is... You know, I'm happy with it.
So glad you balanced your tit skull ratio.
Yeah, it's important.
Yes. All right. Someone else, Peach.
I'll go. Right. It's summertime and I get to go swim in the ocean every day. And I'm very happy I don't live in Wyoming anymore because it's still snowing there.
Yeah. That's great. It. And that's right. You guys are on the warm coast as well, where the water is not fucking freezing until August.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're very, that's probably Ryan's lemon, but it's hot out and I love it.
It's funny you say that. Cause I did write, I'm not even kidding you. It's like backup lemon. Summer is the worst.
Oh dude, I agree with you. I hate it. Summer. I hate summer.
I think we have this nostalgic mindset when we were kids and we were off and we didn't care about sweating. And
don't care about
even
it
now. Even as a kid, I hated summer and I hate it now even more as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially now that it's hot girl summer. Like, come on. That's unfair.
It's torture poet summer, so
Right. Thank you, Ryan. I do appreciate that, making a note.
Of course, Brian hates hot girl summer.
Well, then what's your peach, Ryan?
My peach is obviously our 200th episode of Bothering the Band.
Hell yeah.
But I also have to throw in, we're doing a live show in New York City. On July 14th.
Wait a minute. I'm going to be in New York City on July 14th.
Are you
fucking kidding
me? You want to do a show?
Are you busy?
Want to be on the show?
Be on the show.
I am not busy. I'm doing my own show in New York City on July 17th. And I will be, I'll be there.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Well, let's talk about this. It's at Mercury Lounge. It's at 5 p.m. because we're old and we wanted to do an early matinee show. Someone we already mentioned on this might be on. Leighton, you should come too. Just come on. Just throw those blisters in the carry-on and get on them. July 14th, Mercury Lounge, live bothering the band. We've got some killer guests, some of which we won't even say right now. But
great.
Possibly.
Possibly me.
Brian.
Yeah.
If you're free and you want to hang out again.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it. At the very least, I'd love to come see it.
Yeah, come hang out. I just got super excited. That just really pumped me up.
That's awesome. What great timing.
That's good.
Brian,
Peach.
My Peach is, speaking of live shows, well, first of all, I am performing Trey Magnifique Knitting Factory at Baker Falls, New York, Wednesday, July 17th, along with the Super Guitar Bros, friends, and guests on the show. But my Peach this week is tonight, which will be too late for anyone hearing this, I am opening for Brendan Hunt from Ted Lasso, Coach Beard, whose act Elvis Prestello, an Elvis impersonator that only sings Elvis Costello songs, is playing at the Lodge Room, which is such a fucking great idea. He's been doing it for a while, and I just last week got booked to open for him. So I'm going to do a 20-minute smooth jazz set tonight at the Lodge Room in L.A., and it's going to be really fun. I love him on Ted Lasso. It turns out we have a mutual friend as well. I've never met the guy in person, but from all accounts, a sweetheart of a dude. And I'm a big fan of his as well. So
that's my awesome.
You know, and the Lodge Room is a great venue.
It's a great venue.
Lodge Room is great. I saw that online today because we follow the Lodge Room, and I saw that. And I just scrolled right, didn't even put two and two together. But I did laugh at the Elvis Prestello.
It's a great idea. It's like, a full band show, too. Like, it's not just him.
Love to go to that.
I know. I'm very excited to check it out.
Wow. Look at all of those wonderful peaches.
Indeed.
And we still have two peaches on this call, which is you guys, Abby and Ryan. Thank you so much for coming back on the show and being so generous with your time.
Thank you.
So very happy to do it.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Everyone, if you aren't already listening to Bothering the Band, which you should be, make sure to go check out their show. There are two episodes with NSP, but lots of other great guests as well. And just a genuinely an awesome concept for a show. And you guys are just delightful. And I'm just a fan. I love it.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. This is like a huge, huge honor. We fucking love you guys. And I have to say one little thing. Is that Ninja Sex Party holds the top two spots on the most listened.
Oh, really?
Event. Absolutely. Wow.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fuck you, David Cross.
It's perfect.
All right, folks at home, thank you for listening to another episode of Late Night with Brian Wecht. If you want video episodes, weekly minis, and all sorts of other fun content, patreon.com/latenight. Please support the show. It's not possible without listeners like you.
That's right. And this week, Layton, please go ahead.
And speaking of listeners like you, I'd like to borrow y'all's question expertise. I'd like to pose the sort of question that you might bother a band with to the audience to answer in however form they choose.
Yeah.
What do you think would be a good question for the audience to ponder this week as our parting thought?
Which is your favorite burner on the stove?
See you next week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
I thought someone would chime in after that with something more profound.
Nope.
That's it. Late Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Layton Gregg. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/latentnight. Follow us on Twitter at @latentnight, on Instagram at @latent_night. Or email us at latentnight@gmail.com.